So excited to be here. What an honor to come back and do diamonds with you. I love diamonds. They're awesome, but I also love pearls and rubies and anything that sparkles. And that tree is magnificent. I was really kind of hoping she was going to say that we're going to raffle that off at the end, because I would make room for that in my suitcase. But diamonds. What are some things you think of when you hear the word diamond?
Sparkly.
Expensive. Yeah. Expense, rarity, uniqueness, strength, hopefully large carat, wedding, anniversary, engagement, love, commitment. Like, there's this, all these words that are associated with diamonds. And are any of these things easily obtained? No, they're not. I mean, there are jewelry stores all over the place, and you can certainly go and buy a diamond anywhere you want to, but it is far less commitment to go buy, like, say, a stick of gum than it would be then to go invest in a diamond in a store. But what about sparkles, right? So they are beautiful. Anything that sparkles is beautiful, but the only way to get something to really sparkle is to polish it and to work and change the way the surface of it is, making that surface smooth so that it can sparkle. It requires work. It requires perseverance. It requires pressure. What about weddings and anniversaries and relationships in general? Are those easy? Sometimes. Sometimes not so much. But they also require perseverance, sometimes a lot of pressure in that as well. And we're going to talk about diamonds, how they're formed, and how we parallel that in our lives and becoming what God has made us into. And so it's just amazing. But before we do anything of that and go any farther, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for the privilege to be here. I thank you for these women. I just thank you so much for the beauty that you have created in each one of these ladies. God, I thank you for putting them in my lives. I pray that you would meet us here tonight. Help us to learn about the diamond, and in so learning about you and how you love us dearly. Help me, Father, to deliver this information in a way that's clear and that we would bring us closer to you. I pray all this in your name. Amen. So diamonds. Okay, so we're totally going to nerd out a little bit and learn all this stuff about diamonds. And just like with the pearl and rubies, you're going to learn way more than you wanted to. And you're going to go home and be like, how do I get rid of all this stuff? But it's just so fun. So diamonds, they're formed obviously deep beneath the earth, 100 or so miles below the upper surface. So it's the mantle, the upper mantle. Obviously in that part of the world of earth, it's very hot. We can't get there. It's a lot of pressure from the weight of the world bearing down on it. That combination of high temperature and pressure is what it needs to grow a diamond in the world. We obviously can't get there to harvest diamonds. That would be harmful to us. But the diamonds that we see today happened during a very deep-seated volcano. It was super, super strong. We're talking flood time that this happened. And the volcano was so rough, this eruption was so violent that it pushed all this magma, it wasn't lava, it was magma, up through these what they're called kimberlite pipes. And so it's pushed up, and what we see today is when it comes up through this kimberlite pipe, it made a mound on the top of the earth, it hardened in there, and those kimberlite pipes are where we get our diamonds from today. It's kind of fascinating, kind of cool, and what's really cool is you can see them at the Natural History Museum. There's just this, looks like a wooden, almost like a log. It's just rock, and it's littered with little gems in it. And so these kimberlite pipes are what brought up these stones from 100 miles low. Geologists will tell you that this happened 40 million years ago. But we believe differently, because the Bible has a story about the flood in it. And what's so cool is there was actually a study done in three different places. It was in China, Botswana, and South Africa. And in these diamonds that they found from 100 miles out, they found traces of water inside these diamonds. There's no water 100 miles down, except for the flood. And in Genesis 7:11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth. So that water was springing up and coming down. And they're finding traces of water in these diamonds. And I just think it's so cool, because there in these beautiful gems are just God's fingerprints are all over the place. And I just find it so fascinating. So we haven't seen this kind of eruption, obviously, in recent times. They carried these diamonds from the upper mantle to the surface. It formed on there. And here's where we can start to relate. You have to have pressure, and you have to have weight for a diamond to be formed, and you have to have high temperature. What is the environment that we tend to live in sometimes? What is the pressure that we are be feeling crushed underneath? And what are the temperatures that we put ourselves in? You know, it's when things get really hard that our real personalities come out. So what is that? What is the pressure and weight that we are under? Maybe it's work. Maybe you have a boss that's demanding. Maybe it's at home. Maybe laundry is, I have a mountain. And I'm sure I've been here for almost five days by the time I get home. That laundry pile is going to be huge. It's going to be great. I can't wait to bless them when I do it. Maybe dusting. Maybe, like, I feel like we've just moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm still kind of getting used to that whole thing. It might as well be Mars, you guys. There is so much dust, so very much dust everywhere. And tumbleweed. It's just lovely. Sweeping, mopping. We, as women, as moms, there is always things to do. And that pressure can just compound and compound. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe your husband isn't helpful around the house. Maybe he's too helpful around the house. Maybe he's judgmental. Because see, here's the thing they know about any diamond that was traveling in these kimberlite pipes, is that it had to move quickly. Because if it didn't move quickly and it was in that pipe too slowly, it literally would have been crushed by the weight of the world and turned to dust. I mean, it's fascinating to me. They had to have been moving at 20 to 30 miles an hour for it to make it to the top intact. If not, it would have been just crushed, reabsorbed, and turned to dust, which is why I don't dust my house, because I might be dusting diamonds, and so I'm just going to leave them there, write my name in it, in diamond dust. It's going to be beautiful. But can you relate to this pressure? I mean, maybe you feel like the world is crushing you and just coming in on you right now, even for being here. But 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 9 says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. And we're perplexed and not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed." And it might just seem like you can't get a break, that there's an issue after issue, there's a trial after trial, there's temptation after temptation, just compacted pressure. We cannot always move through that phase quickly. Just like that kimberlite pipe that had to move quickly. We can't always move through various trials and situations quickly, but we can submit to God quickly. And we can fall under his authority and fall under his teaching and what he's going to grow us quickly. And in so then being empowered by what God's going to do with us in whatever situation. God's strengthening us and he's preparing us, because see, here's the thing. You're either going to let God use you and submit it to him, or you're going to fight it all the way, and you're going to bear that weight alone, and it will crush you eventually, because we can't bear that weight indefinitely. So do you choose the pressures of the world? Do you choose getting the best job, having the fanciest house, having the best clothes, having the most friends, having the most likes on Facebook or Instagram or whatever the new thing is? Do you choose to have the most friends at church and the best ministry and, you know, the most handsome husband? Do we choose these things at whatever cost? Or do we submit to God who loves us unconditionally and who saves us from our sin? So dust or diamond? Now, I need to be very clear here. In John 15, Jesus says that I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I need you to know that I'm not saying that we can choose God apart from him. We loved him because he loved us. We can choose him because he chose us. And I'm not really saying, when I say the word choose, I really am saying submitting under his authority. And recognizing that we are sinners and that we desperately, desperately need Christ in our lives. We need to repent. We need to turn from our lives of sin. God gives us choices. We're obviously not robots. He's never surprised at our actions and what we choose to do. But we need to choose him, and we need to choose him quickly. So dust or diamond. Now, it'd be great if it just ended there. We choose, yes, I want to be a diamond, and we're going to sparkle and forever, and it's going to be great. But it doesn't, because you don't get a diamond straight out of the ground. I mean, they're raw. They look like rocks. They're kind of ugly, actually. So mined rough diamonds, they're converted into gems through a multi-step process called cutting. Diamonds are extremely hard, but they're also very brittle. So it takes just a single blow to cut a diamond, which is why gemologists have to then be trained so they know what to do, because you wouldn't send a lumberjack in there to go and trim your diamonds and to cut your diamonds. You want someone who knows exactly what to do. And why? Because they love the product. They know how to form this beautiful gem so that they don't lose a bunch in the meantime, because they obviously want to keep it intact and keep it at great value. That final goal is to produce a faceted jewel where all the little angles and the facets are all there in the perfect place to reflect and refract light. That's their job. That's what makes them sparkle. So in this process, you can actually reduce the weight of a started off raw diamond by 50% before you finally get that diamond that's going to sit in your ring or earrings or necklace. So that's a whole lot of cutting. And they cut and they cut and they cut. And you have to wonder, you're cutting away diamonds. Why? You're so wasteful. Like, why are we cutting these away? And the truth is because every diamond has a purpose. It might be for a necklace, it might be for a ring, and it might be for earrings, but every diamond has a purpose because of its value. And that jeweler will carefully and cleverly form every facet to make sure the light is shining perfectly through it. It's just so fun. It's just so beautiful. We all have purpose. And our jeweler, our creator, carefully and cleverly is just cutting and preparing us to be in the exact setting he has for us. It's just his light's just going to shine right through. It's going to be great. We all have purpose. Each one of us is being shaped for this purpose. And we might not know what it is until we're 100 years old. But we each have a purpose. So after the cutting, it's the polishing phase. Now, the polishing, different than cutting. Obviously, cutting, you're just going to start chopping away. Polishing is very slow, and it's very time-consuming. It's gradual. So they just start polishing. Diamonds are hard. So there's a hardness scale, and we'll call him Mr. Mo, because I don't actually really know what his first name is or how the Mo's hardness scale even got their name. But there is a hardness scale, and his name is Mo. And diamonds are a 10. To give you a perspective, pearls are a 2.5. Fingernails are a 2.5. Which is kind of gross. Silver is a 3. A copper penny is a 3.5. A ruby is a 9. And a diamond is a 10. They are the strongest thing. So they're hard to polish. It requires a lot of force and a lot of repetition. After they're done polishing, these diamonds are then, or while they're in the process of polishing it, really, they're examining these diamonds for more flaws. Either flaws that were remaining there from the beginning, like that came into the shop with flaws, or ones that have been introduced either in the cutting phase or in the polishing phase that they ended up with some flaws. And they just keep polishing until they smooth that out. We were in the raw form. And God chose us, 1 John 4:19. We love God because he first loved us. He chose us. We've been cut, and we are now in this polishing phase. And as we're polishing, we discover things in our lives that need to be fixed. Those things, those sins in our lives that have got to be polished out. And we discover pride, and we discover arrogance, and we discover resentment, and intolerance, and discontentment. I tell you what, moving to Albuquerque, there has been a lot of polishing with discontentment because I loved this place. And Albuquerque is just different. It's a special land of enchantment. But it's beautiful. The place is beautiful. I keep telling myself that God has replaced one beauty with another. They're just different. And I'm just looking for the beauty on that side. But a whole lot of polishing has been going on for the last 3 months. But we look at those things. And here's the thing. As for any diamond, when they find those flaws, they have to conceal them and they have to lessen them. And they do this various reasons. And the reason they do it is because they don't give up on these diamonds just because there's a flaw. They have to make them as not flawless, but they need to reduce the flaws in order to make their value the maximum that they can. So they do that by several ways, and some of them are just kind of crazy. The first is they just keep repolishing. Over and over and over and over again, they repolish. And there are sin in our lives that we, every day for the next however long, we're going to deal with this. And we just have to. The second one is they crack filling. If there is a crack inside there, they literally will inject a polyurethane substance into the diamond to fill that crack because it has to be complete so that it's a beautiful diamond for a ring and it can't break. You don't want it to crack from the inside. But we have got to fill in areas where we have left a vacant hole from Christ. And it might be areas where we've chosen to ignore Jesus. And maybe it's the words that we speak. Maybe we're a little harsher with some people than we need to be and call it, I'm just being honest. I'm just being real. Sorry, not sorry. Well, we have to speak in love. Maybe it's the language you use. Maybe it's profanity. Maybe it's the shows you watch. Maybe it's, if it's not rated R, maybe it's not so bad. But the truth is, if you wouldn't want Jesus in there with you watching that show, then you need to invite him back into that vacant spot. And number three, sometimes they laser drill, which just sounds painful, and I don't want to go down that road, so I'm avoiding laser drilling as much as possible. But they don't give up on these diamonds at all because they are of great, great value. And sometimes the stone then becomes so oddly shaped because of the repairing that the gemologist or jeweler carefully puts it in a setting surrounded by other diamonds, not to hide its flaws, but to make sure that it is balanced. And I just think it's so beautiful. Some of us are some seriously odd-shaped diamonds. I am an odd-shaped diamond. And I am so thankful for the beautiful gems that God has put in my life. Not to make me look odd, but to just make sure that my setting is complete. And I just align yourself, ladies, with just the most beautiful gems you possibly can. It's just great. So now, if you have your Bibles with you, if you don't, I'm totally going to read it anyway. But John 4:3, we're going to talk about the Samaritan woman because she is the perfect display of a diamond. And I just love her so much. So John 4:3 starts like this. So he, Jesus, left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he went to the town of Samaria called Sychar near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." You can just see the pressure that she has been living in with this woman, and I just love it because she's such a great picture of a raw rock. A raw lump of carbon. It is hot. It is noon. And this is the time of day that she decides to go out and get water. You didn't do that. Nobody went out at noon to get water. But the truth is that she was ashamed of the life that she had been living. And she didn't want judgment on her. She didn't want to have to justify her behavior. She didn't want the ridicule of the ladies of the town. And so in order to ignore it, she went when nobody else was there. And now to add injury to insult, she's talking to a man. And he was a Jew. So here's this man there. And so Jesus said to her, verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up in eternal life." And you can just kind of watch him pulling her out of this pressure, just loving on her in a way that she has not been accustomed to. He says in verse 15, or she says to him then, the woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water." And he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." And I find this really interesting because now he's in the cutting process. And while he's cutting and he's trimming, he sees these flaws inside that have got to be taken care of. The filth that she has chosen to let into her life, right? So he approaches that. She says, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. In fact, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you're with right now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." He is just polishing the wrong way. He's just like squeaky, squeaky clean. And sin is being exposed, and she is forced to deal with it because for the first time, she now is not just this lump of carbon. She's just becoming this beautiful, beautiful woman, this beautiful diamond. So he says, the woman said, or in verse 25, the woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. And just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking to the woman. But no one said, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Which I think is also a funny thing that they specifically put that in there, because they knew Jesus was in the business of harvesting gems. They weren't going to argue with him. And so in verse 20, and plus he must have surprised them several times with just what he did. It was just so out of character for what they had seen. I just love it. Anyway, verse 28, it says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. This is my favorite part, because this light is shining out of her now for the first time ever in her life. And the great thing is her appearance didn't change. It's not like she went and got a haircut. It's not like she went and got a new outfit before she went. But something was different, because there's no way in the world they would have followed her if the same lady that they were going to ridicule would have gone to that town. There's no way. Something was different with her. And we'll come back to the story in a little bit, because it's so important to see the two differences. And you can't know what a genuine item is unless you look at its opposite, the synthetic version of it. So we're going to come back to the story and pull it all together at the end. But I want to talk about synthetic diamonds. And there's a lot of great, great things about diamonds, because they do lab-created diamonds. And lab-created diamonds are, no kidding, diamonds. They are the same structure, the same compound, everything is the same. They're just created in a lab. And when you do that, you get far fewer flaws, and you can add color to it, and that's where you get these fantastic chocolate diamonds, and oh, it's just all goodness. But they do them in labs, because only 0.01% of natural diamonds come in color. Everything else is a shade of clear. But what I want to look at is cubic zirconium as the opposite of a diamond, because they're tricky. They're really tricky. And cubic zirconium, and let me tell you, there's a huge market, because they're a cheap, cheap alternative. And they're not bad. I'm not going to like diss on all CZs, because I totally own them too, and I love them, and they're blingy and they're lovely. But they are the opposite of a diamond in more ways than one, and I just love it so much. So cubic zirconium, it's a crystalline form of zirconium dioxide. It's a synthesized material. It's hard, but not as hard as a diamond. It's optically flawless, and it's colorless. So if you look at it, it would be the most rare diamond, class D, if you will, which is the best, clearest diamond you can get. That is what you get when you get a cubic zirconium. The problem is they're not real diamonds. They're not real. So they're completely flawless. They can come in a variety of different colors, because all they have to do is magically add some extra stuff to it. So if you add chromium to the zirconium dioxide, it'll turn green. If you add cobalt to it, it's this beautiful lilac violet color. It's just stunning. It's lovely. If you add copper to it, it'll turn a yellow aqua color. If you add iron to it, it'll be yellow. If you add holmium, it'll be a champagne color. Just lovely. Oh, they're so beautiful. And the list goes on. All you have to do is add these things, and they turn a different color, and they're beautiful. The problem is they're flawless. And if you heard the pearl or the ruby study, it's going to sound very familiar, that flawless does not translate into genuine. Because all genuine stones have flaws. Every single precious stone that's genuine has flaws. Every single synthetic stone is flawless. Because it's controlled. It's tightly, tightly controlled. So CZ is a dense substance. We are going to nerd out really bad right now, and I'm really sorry. But it's a very dense substance. Its gravity is between 5.6 and 6. It's 1.6 times heavier than that of a diamond. So if you plop a CZ and a diamond in water, it'll sink, which, again, complete opposites. And also, I'm not comparing density and weight with non-believers, because that is not what I'm trying to say here at all. Like, I realize we want to be diamonds. We don't want to be CC. I'm not saying that dense people are not believers, because I'm a dense person. What I am saying, though, is that if you look at how we create things and how God the Creator made things, he made things to not be perfect, because there is only one who was perfect, and that is Jesus. And had we been perfect, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. And I just love it. I love that things created by man tend to be flawless. and not as valuable because of it. So they also are an 8.5 on the Mohs hardness scale. And because of this, their edges dull. So a diamond, you can one time make all the facets and put it in a ring. It never needs to be sharpened. But a CZ will start to, its edges will start to wear off and you'll get chips and cracks all over it because it's not as strong. And also, if you polish a CZ too many times, it will start to scratch. A diamond will not. Complete opposites. Its refractive index is much less. It can't capture as much light as a diamond can. Again, complete opposites. The most significant information or identification method between a CZ and a diamond is, and my husband, he's a space guy, and he just nerds out all the time. And so he was super excited that I was going to tell you guys this, that a CZ, a cubic zirconium, is a thermal insulator, whereas a diamond is a thermal conductor. And then I said to him, I don't even know what that means. Like, I don't even know. And this is what he told me. Diamonds have a higher thermal conductivity. If you breathe on the stone, fog from your breath will disappear right away. If you do the same test with a cubic zirconium, the stone will remain foggy for longer. I was like, huh. Then there's me. and then I was like, wait a minute, the ring you gave me. Ah, yeah, I love it. I love nerds. Anyways, the thing is this. Diamonds are useful, and they are so, so strong, and they are so useful. They're used to make tools and to shape other tool or other gems, and they're used in all sorts of ways. Diamonds that are mined that are not gemstone qualified, meaning they'll never end up in a necklace, they'll never end up in a ring or anything like that, they use those for all sorts of things. They put them on coating saw blades. And that, to me, my first thought was, what a horrible waste, right? Why in the world are we crushing diamonds and putting them on saw blades? And then I realized that boys just want diamonds, too. Yeah, and saw blades. And also, they can cut things. I just think it's great. Yeah, let them have their diamonds. They can have our diamond dust. It's okay. It's okay. But they also put them in x-ray machines. They put them in diamond window glass coverings. They do abrasives. And they put them in anything that's going to be worn over and over and over again. For wear resistance, they put a coating of diamond on there. It won't wear out. It's beautiful. They're so useful. And they weren't even valued for their beauty as decorative gemstones at first. But now they are because they're so strong and they recognize the strength in that. But here's the thing. Coating things with diamonds doesn't make them a diamond. They actually will coat a cubic zirconium, and it's called a diamantine. It's a thing, you guys. They coat cubic zirconium. And then it causes this whole thing because gemologists, when they test them, it'll test as a diamond. But it doesn't have the value of a diamond because inside is just a cubic zirconium. And so there's this whole thing. And you can try to fool people around you, and sometimes you can, but you can't fool the Creator. God knows. God sees right through it. He knows if we're a real diamond or not. And Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. We can't fool God. We can do a good job with our friends sometimes, but not God. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, for the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You know, the Pharisees, they were so careful to appear faultless before the people. They prayed louder, they prayed better, and they appeared as the real deal. But their hearts were cold. Their hearts were so not reflecting God. In Matthew 6:5, it says, Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their full reward. And then again in Matthew 23, he says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgences. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. You know, they were all about polishing the outside, polishing that outside layer of diamond, while inside was just a cubic zirconium and just devaluing then who they are. But they're useful. God uses us to reach those around us, just like he used the Samaritan woman. And our job is the same. We're told in Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've said or everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. So now if we jump back to the story of the Samaritan woman in John 4, light is now shining through her for the first time. She's different. Something is different about this woman. And the difference is the light. Light of Christ is now shining through her, radiating through her. It says in verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the savior of the world. I love it. You just got to wonder what in the world changed about her external appearance. I mean, she didn't change, like her nothing on her changed except for Jesus is now radiating through her. That Hope Diamond in that beautiful setting at the museum, when those lights turn off, it's not sparkly. Like I've never actually seen it, but I imagine that when the light turns, no, they would never let me in there when the lights were off, I promise you. But when there's not light shining through them, they don't sparkle. And also, it's on this perfectly timed table so that there's never a facet that doesn't have a light shining on it. It's spectacular. But it's got light shining through it from every angle. And that's what makes it so, so incredibly beautiful. We are useful. Just like the Samaritan woman, God used the Samaritan woman to reach the people of that town. He took this lump of carbon under great pressure and great weight and turned her into this beautiful diamond, a diamond with flaws that she's going to work on every day, just like we do. Every day we work on these sin flaws that we are finding. If you look at a real diamond ring, the bottom of it will always be open. This is another difference between a diamond ring and a CZ ring. If you look at them, a diamond ring will always have an open setting. Always. Why? So that light can crisscross through it. You're never going to put a diamond inside a closed setting. Right? And we're all like this. Just to make sure. You're never going to do that. You have to allow the light to shine through every single facet on these diamonds, bouncing off of them. And if you think back to the Pharisees, they had to look perfect. And their setting was so closed and so careful in order to maintain this perfect appearance. But they were just in a closed setting that who cares? If you're a CZ, who cares? You're gonna sparkle anyway because CZ sparkle, but you don't have the same brilliance. You don't have the same radiance as a diamond. So we are useful, but six things have to happen. You have got to choose to either be dust or diamond. We have to trust in God. We have to submit quickly or we will succumb to the weight of the world. And we cannot bear that pressure alone. Number two, we have to be willing to go through the polishing phase. And sometimes that's repeatedly happening, day after day, week after week. And sometimes when you think you don't have an issue and then you move to, say, I don't know, Albuquerque, things pop up in your life and you're, there we are again, polishing. Number three, we have to submit and allow God to mold us and design us to fit exactly where he wants us. We have to trust that God is cleverly and carefully placing us exactly in the setting that he wants us, and he is going to surround us with the perfect gems to make us sparkle. Different pressures, different trials and situations. You are where you are because this is what God's plan is for you right now. And that might change. He might have you in a different setting in a couple years. And that's fine. We just have to submit to that. Number four is we need to be ready to be used by God for his purposes, even if it's painful. Nobody wants to go through the polishing phase. Nobody wants to go through the cutting phase. And number five is we have to be reflecting and refracting God's light, letting him to shine through us. And to optimize that sparkle and that luster. And we just have to trust that God's got the plan of where he wants us in this beautiful setting, in whatever place he's got us put. And I just keep thinking, back to the Hope Diamond, if they were to remove that and put it in a corner where, if you go around the corner where like all the rocks are, there's no special lights over there. They're never gonna put it over there. Because it needs to have the right light shining through it so that it just crisscrosses and just radiates out. And I just think it's so beautiful. And it's such a great reminder that God desperately, desperately wants us to shine for him. And he doesn't care if there's flaws in there. I mean, he cares. He wants us to work on those. We desperately need to be working on those too. But he doesn't mind starting with a clump of carbon. He doesn't mind cutting and trimming off the grime that we've allowed in our lives or the grime that we maybe don't even know we have attached to us. He loves us unconditionally. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much. I thank you so much for your creation. I thank you for speaking to us and just showing yourself mighty in all your creation. Lord, I pray that you would be with us tonight. I pray that you would watch over each ladies here. Lord, every family that's represented in this room, I pray that you would put a special blessing on. I pray that you would watch over them and keep them safe. Father, help us this week as we go about our life. Help us to shine through you. Help us to find those flaws, Lord, that you are exposing, and that we would be willing and submit quickly, Father, so that we can get them all polished up and cleaned up so that we can shine for you. I thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.